I bring you greetings, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My sermon text for this Sunday, which is the 12th Sunday after Pentecost, I have to read it to find out where I'm at. It's been such a busy week, but anyways. Our sermon text will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. We're going to read from verses 51 to 58. If you are able, please rise for the reading of the Gospel. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 51, continuing in Jesus' name. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. We need a prayer on this one. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've given us this word, but oftentimes it's too much to bear. Oftentimes, Father, we want to just go with the mind of reason and we just can't see beyond the words. But we pray, Father, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that you would reveal to us the truth of this gospel. We pray, Father, that you would sanctify us in the truth, for we know your word is truth. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. My voice is getting a little weak, so bear with me, and maybe you'll get a little break. Maybe I won't be my typical loud self. But anyways, dealing with this gospel text, it's a very difficult one for human beings to look at. Because oftentimes we want to rationalize within our mind what things mean. And I'll be honest with you, even looking at this text, I didn't pick it. It's on the church calendar. And I said, well, I'll avoid that one this time. But yet God revealed to me that His Word is powerful, His Word is mighty, and what He says, He means. That is difficult for us to get. It's difficult for us to get because this sounds kind of morbid. If we were to be honest with ourselves. Because we look at things in such a way that we only use reason. But yet this is not what He speaks. He speaks to us as children. And He speaks to us as children of God that we would move forward and that we would understand by faith. And we understand that our whole living in Christianity is saved by grace through faith. And so now, He comes to this point where He is sharing with them. Because He had just fed the 5,000 previously to this. And when He fed the 5,000, the people were still clamoring for Him. They were looking for Him. They wanted to receive more. They even wanted to make Him king. But that kingship would have been short-lived because that's an earthly kingship that they were desiring. Jesus turns around and He shares with them. He said, You are coming after Me not because of the great miracles. It wasn't because you were awe-inspired by the miracles. Because you actually saw the kingdom of God performing. He says, you actually are coming after Me because you're worshiping the God of your belly. He says, you come to Me because your bellies were full. He says, don't seek after that which is earthly. Rather seek after that which is spiritual. See, and oftentimes we have a tendency to put our earthly life above and beyond everything else. We forget the old understanding of seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. We often will have more of a tendency as human beings, and maybe you're not like this, so if you're not, kudos to you. But often, we seek everything. Seek ye first everything of earth and all your material gain. And then on Sunday, maybe we'll go check out God. That's often how we do it. You know, even as a pastor, you turn around and you realize that, and it's not bad, so nobody has to come to me and say, who's saying what? That's not what I'm saying here. But I feel like as a pastor sometimes, it's like, Pastor, I'm too busy for Bible study. I'm too busy to come meet with you in your office. I'm too busy for all these other things. Give me everything I need in 28 minutes on a Sunday morning, and I'll be happy. Doesn't sound like seeking ye first the kingdom of God. I'm just as guilty. Right now I'm dying. I feel hot. It's hot in here. I feel like, man, we got to hurry up and get out of here. I'm wondering where Steve Erickson is. I'm thinking he's probably at the beach. I'd like to be there. We're all human. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He tells them previously, you guys are coming to me not because you saw the great miracles, not because you were impressed by the power of the kingdom of God. You're coming to me because your bellies were full. You're seeking the wrong thing. He says, you're coming to me in reality for those things that perish. He says, I am the bread of life. They turn around earlier and they say, well, give us something. I mean, even Moses gave a man out in the wilderness. And Jesus says, yep. You think Moses did that, but you know, Moses didn't. That was God the Father that gave it to you. But that was not the everlasting bread. That was temporary fillings. Those people, they're dead. It sustained them for a period of time, but they're dead. He says, the bread that I'm offering you, which is my life, Christ says, will give you life eternal. And so then he says, previously to this, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now our text says, and I am that living bread, which comes down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give him is my flesh. And this becomes very difficult. So now he's telling us to be cannibals. And we have all kinds of people that will write articles about this, and they miss the whole point. Jesus, in reality, is saying, surrender to everything else, even those things which you think sustain you, those earthly breads which you think sustain you. We do not live by bread alone. Isn't that what Christ said when he was in the temptation? But by every word of God. And this is the major point. What God speaks is. And that's not good enough for us. What God speaks is. We turn around to the very beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And the earth was without form, void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. If you don't believe me, change it. Shut it off. I would like someone to stand up and shut off the light. I'm not talking about our temporary lighting here. Shut off the light that God said. God saw the light and it was good. He divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters. And let the divided waters from the waters. And the firmament was divided in the waters. And there was a firmament and from the waters which were above the firmament. And so there was. And God called the firmament heaven or the sky. And the evening and the morning of the second day. God said, let there be a division between the earth and the sky. Let's see you get rid of that. What God speaks takes place. And then so it says, God said, let the earth grow. Let this happen. Let this happen. God speaks into reality. And then we come to this. Well, how can Jesus really be talking about us partaking in Him? Eating of His flesh and drinking of His blood. Well, actually, if we were to look at it in its full context, Jesus, when He was in preparing for the Passover. And they were eating, and Jesus took bread in the Gospel of Matthew, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to them. He said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." God said. It's an amazing thing because there's many individuals that have turned around and tried to refute this. Where we can even look to different religions where they say, well, now it physically is changed. And Luther would argue against that because we have science that can prove to us it is still not physically changed. But then we can go to the other side where you'll have more of a reformist theology. They'll turn around and say, well, it's just a symbol. It's a trinket. See, when we come up here, we're only partaking in a symbol of what Jesus said. That's not what he said. He did not say to take and eat, this is a symbol of my body. He did not turn around and say, take, drink, this is a symbol or trinket. The Creator of heaven and earth who spoke into being us, who spoke this earth into being, turns around and he says, you take and eat because this is my body. Because without me you can do nothing. To partake of Christ and the suffering. To take part in Christ and the sacrifice that was poured out before the foundations of this world. The Jews, they start to argue amongst themselves. And they start to argue saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And they still look upon him as just a man. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that Jesus, if we could say it in a cynical way, just says. And boy, it would be a shame if they weren't true. Because Jesus says, for God so loved this world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. That's not hope. That is promise. God said. Hanging upon the cross, he just says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I hope it's not a just says. I hope it's a reality. That the Father does forgive in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. That He is the atonement for our sinfulness. That He is the balm. It's more than just says. The Jews turn around and they ask this question, but Jesus says, truly, truly, He says, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. And this is a very, very bold way of saying, dying to self and entering into me, receiving of what I pour out, receiving of that atoning work that I pour out on the cross of Golgotha. If you do not take of this for yourself, then you have no part of me. But yet, by reason, we find offense. Luther and Zwingli, they argued about this for quite a while in Germany. It got to the point where the story says that Luther finally got sick of it because Zwingli was trying to say it's just a symbol. And in Luther's mind, that's usurping the authority over the Word of God because it doesn't say that in the Word of God. And he believes very strongly, Luther believed very strongly that Jesus Christ, because of his words of institution, because of the promise of his covenant, that he was found in and within and throughout the elements. And that's what we miss. So he took his knife out and it says that he actually carved in Latin, this is my body. And he asked him, what does this say? This is my body. If God says it, it's good enough for me. If God spoke in reality creation into place, it's good enough for me. The God that speaks redemption by the finished work of Jesus Christ is good enough for me. The reality of it is, even to say it in those terms is degrading because I don't even deserve any of it. Yet, but God Himself pours it all out before us in the form of Jesus Christ. And He says, here is your gift. Will you receive what has been given to you? Or do we turn up our nose and say, well, that sounds kind of weird. I don't want to touch that. Really? That sounds kind of weird? But then we turn around in life and we say, well, two atoms were floating through space. We don't know who put these atoms there. And they collided into each other. And next thing you know, all of this came out of it. Boy, we swallow that pill pretty heavy. We believe in evolution because Darwin himself said it was a great thing. So now because he says? The scripture says, which one of you, by taking any thought, can add even one inch to your height? Now, he's not talking about surgery. He's not talking about adding some lifts in your shoes. Which one of you, by thinking of it, can make yourself taller? But yet God spoke you into creation. When you were in your, before you were in your mother's womb, He knew you. And you don't think that people have value? God said, Jesus said, if you don't partake in me, you have no life in you. Whosoever therefore partakes of my flesh and drinketh of my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed. He says, and my blood is drink indeed. Yes, Christ came in the flesh, and He paid upon that cross the penalty of sin for each and every one of us here, sitting here today. But not just for us, but in reality, the Scripture boldly speaks that He did it for the sins of the whole world. And His blood was poured out upon that cross so that we would be atoned, that we would be washed and made white as snow. He says, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. He who partakes and receives of what I give him, this is my body. This is my blood. He has given everything for you. Now take the human side out of it for a moment. Take the gross side, if we want to be honest, out of it. When we think about it only by reason and not by faith. Is there anything more precious than someone laying down their very life in our behalf? If you are a wife of a loving husband and someone came in and tried to do you harm, do you feel that your husband would stand in your place? If you are a loving mother who is raising a child and you see that something's going to harm your child, whether it be an animal or another human being who is acting like an animal, would you not step in between? And is there not something precious that you're willing to give up your flesh and your blood for this other? Your God loved you so much that He came to this earth and He took your place. He stepped between you and the sin that was keeping you from the Father. This is what He speaks about. He doesn't speak about some travail thing. He doesn't speak of some trinket or symbol. He doesn't speak about any other thing except in reality that He has kept nothing back from you. We'd love to look around the room and figure out, well, maybe from them. That has nothing to do with it. Personally, your God kept nothing back from you. And He gave it all for you so that you would live. He that receives of my flesh and drinketh of my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live in reality by the Father, so that he that eateth me, he shall live by me. He's talking about a total change. And if we really stop and think about it for even 12 seconds, we put so much effort into our life for daily bread, don't we? In fact, it's 11:15 now. We're all probably getting somewhat hungry. We're probably all thinking where we're going to go eat. And we understand when we go down to the Ramada and we get a waterfront sandwich without the bread and the sweet potato fries and all that, we know what that's going to do for us. I don't eat bread. So that's why I get it without the bread. But the fact of it is, we sit there and we say, that's going to sustain us for another day. Or not even another day, because by the time we get back home, we'll be looking at supper again. But the fact of it is, we know that this earthly food will sustain us for so many hours, and we'll need to take it again and again and again. Jesus says, in reality, I am much more than that, that when you partake of me, everything that I have given you will continue to carry you for eternity. This earthly bread only lasts for a season, but yet this heavenly manna, Jesus Himself, He is for eternity. Why do we spend so much time seeking for those things that pass away? Rather than understanding, everything we have need of is found in Him. It's an amazing thing. So He says, As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that partakes in me, he shall live by me. In other words, now there's no separation. He says, this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as the fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. It's not that temporary filling. He that eateth of this bread, he shall live forever. He says, partake in me. Receive of my body and blood. He says, and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Now we come down to the point, if we were to jump ahead two verses, it says, many of therefore, in verse 60, of the disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. This is difficult to digest. Isn't that funny? No pun intended there, eh? This is a very difficult hearing. It's very hard to digest. Who can hear it? It is tough. It's tough to think about in those terms. But what it comes back to, even for me, I could stand up here as your pastor and try to tell you I understand exactly how this all happens. I don't. But I know the one that spoke us into creation has the ability to speak these things to be. And instead of trying to dissolve what He has given us, I say, thank you, Father. I may not know or understand how it works, but I do know you. And I know what you say does work. Thank you, Father. May we continually partake in Him for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity to gather around Your Word. We thank You, Father, for the graciousness which You bestowed upon us. Father, forgive us, because oftentimes we become so proud and so haughty, and we think that we can go to the greatest schools in the world and think we can understand everything that Your Word has spoken. And we're fools. Father, You are the one that has created all things. You are the one that has spoke everything into creation. So therefore, You have the ability to speak as You will. May we listen to Your Word, may we live by it, and may we be encouraged by it. For Your Word speaks goodness to us. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift His countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.